Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I tell you, little buddy, this whole island is bewitched.
Remember, we were shipwrecked together. Stranded, I'm so far from home. Stranded,
yeah, I'm on my own. Stranded. Welcome to this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My co-host is Greg Kot. And if you want to be the first to hear our bonus podcast, become a Sound Opinions member on Patreon, like John Kostayek. Thank you, John, for your support. Now, as you know, Greg and I have crammed our music so full of brains, or our brains so full of music, choose one. There's no telling what's going to bubble up on any given day. When one of us has a song in our head that we can't live without, we add it to the Desert Island Jukebox. Greg, you have a song to add today. It's coming on the heels of a news story. Give us a hint.
Well, the hint is that one of the great guitarists of in rock history has passed, and we need to honor him.
We will do that in a minute on Sound Opinions. We're back, Greg. Robbie Robertson, dead at the age of 80.
That, of course, is the iconic The Wait, as played by The Band. The Band.
The Band.
Yes. In honor of Robbie Robertson, who died at age 80 on August 9th. Another one of those that I didn't see coming. Didn't realize that Robbie was having health issues, but apparently had some kind of illness that he succumbed to. And we're here to, you know, pay a little bit of a tribute to Robbie, because obviously a key figure in rock and roll. Age 16, he's joining the Ronnie Hawkins band. Ronnie Hawkins, for those of you who don't know, was this Arkansas rockabilly artist and showman. This guy would be doing backflips and moonwalks on the stage, you know, before Michael Jackson.
A heck of a character.
Crazy guy. And Robbie's a 16-year-old guitar phenom in this band, along with Levon Helm, Rick Danko, Richard Manuel, and Garth Hudson.
Yeah.
The future members of what
of
would become
the band. You know, I won't take issue with you because you're Greg, but the number of times the words iconic have been used in tributes to Robertson. And also, I love all of the our media peers saying a founding band of Americana.
Mm-hmm.
These were all Canadians. It's worth noting.
Well,
that.
But I mean, the sound and the approach to the music
was a sea change. And they were steeped in it. They were scholars.
And, you know, Dylan picked Robertson out of the pack, said, "This is a guy I can relate to his guitar playing." From 65 through 67, Robbie was a very close collaborator with Dylan, and he brought the band in for the famed Basement Tapes.
Yeah.
But he also played on Blonde on Blonde. He was also there as part of that tour in 1966 where he was getting booed. Dylan was getting booed every night on stage.
For Going Electric.
For Going Electric. Robbie was a big part of the Going Electric part because he was playing all those guitar fills. And guitar fills, I think, is an important aspect of Robbie's playing. You know, the 60s guitar icons were all soloists primarily.
Yeah.
They were guys who played solos.
The Eric Clapton model.
Right. And Robbie really wasn't, you know, he was a great soloist. He played a lot of solos with Ronnie. And I asked him about, like, where did this style come from where you were playing fills and kind of like coloring the arrangements with your guitar playing? He said, I just got tired of playing solos. I wanted to do something different. So I would compare him to a guitarist like Curtis Mayfield or Steve Cropper or Keith Richards, who said a lot with very little.
Mm-hmm.
He was a minimalist. The songwriting, you know, we could speak for hours about the disputes that Robbie had with the other members of the band, Levon Helm first and foremost, about
who
should share the songwriting credits on those early band albums.
I loved Levon Helm, so I'm Team Levon,
you
know, and he savaged Robertson in his autobiography.
Yeah, he did. He was bitter. He was a bitter man, and it became very clear in that memoir that he wrote in the early 90s about how bitter he was about everything, the songwriting credits, The Last Waltz, which was the band's farewell concert, essentially orchestrated by Robbie Robertson and his new friend Martin Scorsese.
His good buddy and drug pal.
And again, people talk about iconic. Everybody says that's the first great rock film. I look back on it now when you're 19 years old, you're viewing it with a certain set of eyes and ears. And when you're a little older and you realize what Levon has to say about it, you have a new perspective on it. You know?
I wanted more of the music. Give me more Mavis Staples and enough of these backstage interviews, Marty. So look, it needs to be said, Scorsese is the worst interviewer in the history of
documentaries. And he's too worshipful, you know?
Yeah,
and the band didn't know how to respond to him. You know,
no.
They were just kind of standing there.
Robbie always had this attitude of, I should be worshipped. So bring it, Marty, bring it.
You know, I don't know. You know, he comes across a little smug in that movie. I don't know if he even appreciates that some people could view it that way. But, you know, I go back to the music. I play those first two band albums a lot because those songs are so good. To Robbie's credit, he wrote the songs, or at least claimed to have written them, entirely on his own with very little input from the other guys, which I don't think is correct. But the point was, he did share the load with those great singers in the band.
Mm.
I mean, Manuel, Helm, and Danko were all great voices in a new, different approach to, you know, rock vocals. Normally, there'd be one guy in the band who sang. This band had three terrific vocalists. And Robertson said, I would write songs specifically for Levon's voice and for Richard's voice and for Rick's voice. And it was just a marvelous combination. I think the key for me was that this band changed the way other bands and artists approached their music. I mean, the idea of going into the basement at Big Pink to record with Dylan, that just changed everything. You know, instead of going into a plush studio to record on the engineer's and producer's time, you could make music in this kind of sanctuary on your own, any way you felt without any rules.
I think it gets mythologized, the actual place, Big Pink. But my folks had a place up in Woodstock, near Woodstock. And, you know, I've seen that house. You got a nicer basement, Mr. Codd.
It's a dump, but it was their dump, right?
Yeah, right.
When I think about Robbie's tour with Dylan, with the members of the band, Levon actually dropped out of that tour as the drummer. He just couldn't take, why are we getting on stage every night to go get booed, you know?
Yeah.
But Robbie was the guitar player at Dylan's side. And I think of his version of Tom Thumb's Blues, Robbie's contributions to that song from that 1966 live at Freedom Trade Hall in Manchester.
Oh, yeah.
That's the show where, you know, the Judas accusations were flying at Dylan.
When you're lost in the rain and worries, when it's Easter time too, and your gravity fails and negativity don't pull you through, don't put on any airs when you're down on Rue Morgue Avenue.
Robbie's just playing nasty. guitar in that song.
Matching Dylan's attitude on stage.
Absolutely. Robbie was like, turn it up, play it louder.
Yeah.
And Robbie told me that he had worked on getting his, unstrapping his guitar quickly so that he could use it as a weapon if they were attacked.
If need be.
Because that was the fear. That was the fear that they were going to get attacked on that stage.
Physically assaulted, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So if he had done only that tour, he would have had a place in rock history. The music for Big Pink album in 1968, the band's debut, and their self-titled album in 1969, those records really hold up. Where the songwriting credits should lie, it remains a disputed item. You know, they said that Levon and Robbie sort of reconciled on Levon's deathbed years ago. But, you know, the songwriting royalties thing was never fully resolved, I think. And then finally, you know, the Last Waltz is kind of the end of the band's career, but really the beginning of Robbie's career as a
solo
filmmaker,
yeah.
You know, as a soundtrack artist, and, you know, a half dozen solo albums as well.
Well, and he was still apparently doing soundtrack music work for Scorsese up until the end.
Absolutely. And, you know, he was working, in fact, on this last film that Scorsese's working on. In fact, Robbie's music is apparently part of the Killers of the Flower Moon soundtrack that will be coming out in the fall when the movie is released. So, as you said, working till the final days. Robbie Robertson of the band. I want to play a piece of the band's version of Dylan's Tears of Rage. It's the first song on the first band album. Richard Manuel with the vocal. But listen to Robbie's guitar tone. It almost sounds like he's plugging it through a Leslie amplifier. But other people were saying to me that that's Garth Hudson's magic black box.
Huh.
He plugged into that, and he got this great guitar tone.
Which was probably something like a Leslie, because Garth being
right, it
an
had
organist,
that sort of
yeah.
Leslie reverb-y type of effect on it. But anyway, just check out the opening to this song and the fills that Robbie Robertson's playing on this particular track. Tears of Rage from the band in honor of Robbie Robertson.
Tears of Rage by the band in tribute to Robbie Robertson, the guitarist dead at the age of 80. That is it for this bonus episode. If you've got thoughts on this episode or anything we talk about, start a conversation in our Facebook group or leave a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org. As always, Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our social media consultant is Katie Cott. Thanks for listening.